March 16th. Slave John, aliens make him wear a collar, nuzzling. John Rodney, PG for all pants on, 2,150 words. The slave trade. When the King's Guard returned Colonel Shepherd to them, he's wearing a collar. He's also stoned out of his mind. Oh crap, Rodney says, not again. Commander Dr. McKay, says one of the little underlings, we are sorry for the confusion, but you really shouldn't let your slaves wander off like that. We found him in the armory. He could have killed himself.
Yes, that's probably true, Rodney says, weakly.
Shepherd smiles and rubs against him like a cat. He seemed upset, the underling goes on, so we administered a stress relief. As you can see, he is much calmer now. Rodney pushes Shepherd away from his ass.
It's in the collar, right? Enters the bloodstream through the skin?
Exactly, the underling claps his hands together in joy. You are so wise, Commander Dr. McKay.
Yes, yes, gracious regents to you, cheerleader minion. Tell me how to get the collar off.
Shepherd submits to letting Rodney inspect the collar. It's a single strip of leather and has no visible release mechanism, not even a snap. Rodney gives it a tug, and Shepherd relaxes against him, practically purring. Rodney would be creeped out if this hadn't happened about a dozen times before. It's like Shepherd has a radar for these planets.
Oh, says the minion, you do not want to remove the collar before it is done releasing its magic. It would be a great shock to the system. He could develop a nervous disorder, or become angry and sullen like your other slave. Such a horrible tragedy.
I like Ronan that way, Rodney says, safe in the knowledge that he and Taylor are waiting outside and won't hear him expressing approval of Ronan's social skills. He kills people that annoy me. The minion whimpers with happy submission. Eerily, Shepherd's doing the same thing, except much closer and in Rodney's ear.
Okay, do you have a pamphlet or anything? Aftercare for your chemically castrated slave, or something like that?
Shepherd pushes his hips against Rodney's ass.
It was a metaphor, Rodney spits at him.
Hey, can you talk? Say something.
Hi, Shepherd says, low and sultry. I swear to God, this better wear off, Rodney says, pointing at the minion, or I will send Supreme Scottish Dr. Beckett to deal with you, and he won't be happy.
The minion shivers. Once your slave is back in a familiar, comforting environment, the magic will dissipate. You may help to speed the process by showing him he is loved. Our healer says this one is filled with fear and anxiety.
Rodney fucking hates these planets. Everyone on Atlantis is filled with fear and anxiety. Shepherd's just better at hiding it than the rest of them. It's his one true gift of leadership. Of course he's scared, but he doesn't talk about it. He just smiles, rides off with his nuclear bombs, and lets everyone think he's fine with it. And Rodney was fine with that, except now these backwater royals are making him think thoughts he doesn't want to think.
Fuck, Rodney says, storming out of the castle, Shepherd slinking along behind him.
Ronan and Taylor are waiting on the drawbridge that spans the empty moat.
Rodney crosses over to them. The bursar says we can come back in a monad, whatever that is, and pick up our grain. Shepherd's in chemical bondage again. I'd suggest not making eye contact. I think he takes that as an invitation.
An invitation to what? Ronan asks, staring at Shepherd.
Do I have to draw you a diagram? Rodney says, as Shepherd drapes himself over Rodney's back, slipping a hand down the neck of his shirt.
Ronan doesn't ask any more questions after that.
The fly home is quiet, because Rodney requires complete silence when he drives, and Ronan's snickering was getting on his nerves. Taylor's riding shotgun, and Shepherd's sitting on the floor between Rodney's legs, head resting on his thigh. Rodney tried to get him to sit somewhere else, like in the back with Ronan, but Shepherd just pushed his face into Rodney's leg and refused to move. He may look pliant, but he's as stubborn as ever, and here the collar proves to have at least one good thing about it. It's useful for grabbing him when he gets a little too familiar. Rodney's not much for self-examination, but having Shepherd's head between his legs is making him uncomfortably aware that he likes it more than he should. He tries to think of other things. Lunch. He likes lunch. They're halfway to the gate when they hit a field of space junk. Shepard's head pops up and the HUD engages, displaying an interface Ruddy's never seen before. It looks disturbingly like a game of asteroids. Completely without Ruddy's input, the jumper starts shooting little energy pellets at the debris and vaporizing it. After a while, it even starts making shooting noises. Pew, 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 pew. How are you doing that? Ruddy demands. Will it shoot at Wraith? I want to play. Shepard indicates a secondary joystick on the dash, then turns around to grin at him. Together, they blast a clear path through the junk, and Ruddy pilots them through, Shepard returning his head to Ruddy's leg with a satisfied sigh. They make the orbital stargate, and Ruddy phones home to tell them that Shepard's got to be put in lockdown again. It's not that he's dangerous, but the Marines probably don't need to see him wearing a collar and nuzzling Ruddy's neck. He seems perfectly healthy, Carson the hack says, and puts down his scanner. As do you. Do you see this? Ruddy asks, gesturing at his throat and neck area where Shepard's happily nuzzling away. Ruddy had to get an exam too, just to satisfy Carson's brilliant curiosity, since, as he pointed out, Shepard doesn't seem interested in molesting anyone but him. In fact, Shepard seems unwilling to be separated from Ruddy at all. Aye, that is somewhat out of character for the Colonel, Carson says. Somewhat? Somewhat! Ruddy slides off the exam bed, Shepard scrambling after him. If you're not going to be any help, Carson holds up his hands. What did they say about the collar? This is the part Ruddy doesn't want to say out loud. They said the effect would wear off as soon as he felt safe and loved, he mumbles. Colonel, Carson says loudly, as if Shepard's gone deaf instead of snuggly. How do you feel? Fine, says Shepard, for once actually sounding fine, if a bit high. I say we give him a day, monitor his vitals. Maybe it'll go away on its own. Carson shrugs, truly, undeniably the worst doctor ever in any galaxy. Fine, Ruddy says, grabbing Carson's scanner. Don't sprain anything with your concern. If it turns out we're both going to die and you'd like to prepare us for the inevitable, we'll be in my room. I've got some new data on the jumpers to look at. You'll love it, Carson. They shoot even more things now. Carson pales, and Ruddy sweeps out of the room. His exit is somewhat hampered by Shepard's hand, tucked in the back pocket of his pants, but he makes do. In his room, Ruddy uploads the flight data onto the network and gets Zelenka on the radio. The jumpers can shoot energy pellets. Zelenka makes one of his happy check noises. I will meet you in Jumper Bay. I can't, Ruddy says, watching Shepard prowl around the perimeter of his quarters. I'm kind of in quarantine, but I'll watch on the network. Don't blow anything up! Shepard finishes his patrol and comes to stand behind Ruddy, hands on his shoulders, thumbs just brushing the back of his neck. On the long walk back to the jumper, Ruddy had told him to stop with all the touching, and he had for a few minutes, but he looked miserable, and he always ended up right back in Rodney's space, his fingers flirting with Rodney's belt loops or the buckles of his vest. Ruddy had given up and accepted the inevitable, but now it looks like he's going to get a neck rub, and no way is he crazy enough to turn that down. Shepard's thumbs brush up and down the back of Rodney's neck, and then his fingers push up into Rodney's hair. Oh, God! Scalp massage! Ruddy lets out an embarrassing whimper and drops his head back into Shepard's hands. Oh, this is absolutely going to ruin him for the day Shepard has control of all his faculties and no longer suffers from an irresistible urge to run his fingers through Rodney's hair, but, God, it's good. The door chimes, and Ruddy abruptly returns to the real world. Oh, there's someone. You should stop! Stop! Shepard stops, but Ruddy can see his reflection in the dark screen of the laptop and his pouting. Ruddy remembers what the minion said about making Shepard feel appreciated. Ruddy turns around in his desk chair. I mean, that was very nice. Thank you. Shepard gives him a private little smile and looks so much like his normal self that Ruddy asks, Are you feeling better? More, like yourself? I feel good, Shepard says, which for him probably counts as a no. Ruddy sighs and gets up to answer the door. It's Taylor, with enough food to feed him at least twice, maybe three times.
food. He's been so busy getting groped by Shepherd that he forgot about dinner.
Taylor smiles. I thought that as you would not be able to attend supper, I would bring you a tray. There is no citrus.
Oh, that's... thank you, he says. Come in.
She sets the tray down on the desk and moves over to Shepherd. She says something too soft for Rodney to hear, and then draws Shepherd's head down to hers until their foreheads touch. Rodney turns away and focuses on the food she brought. He's never been good with intimacy, even other people's. He eats one of the blueberries that taste like pineapple and have the texture of ground beef. He can't decide if they're delicious or disgusting. He reaches for another, but the bowl's missing. He looks up. Taylor's gone, and Shepherd's right next to him again, holding out a berry and looking hopeful.
Oh, no, Rodney says. I can feed myself, and so can you. Put that down.
Shepherd pouts, but Rodney doesn't give in, and they eat at Rodney's desk. Shepherd picks at his food, and Rodney shovels his in while checking the network to see what kind of progress Zelenka's making on the jumpers. None, it seems, as he logged off 10 minutes ago without even isolating the subsystem responsible for the energy module. Slacker. He shoves the last of the round cheeses into his mouth and leans back in his chair. On the other side of the desk, Shepherd's looking absolutely stricken.
Shepherd, Rodney sighs. It's like having a child, or a pet, or a boyfriend. Rodney can't be responsible for other people's emotional well-being. He's not equipped.
Shepherd puts his hand out, palm up, on the desk between them. Rodney gives him an awkward little pat, and Shepherd captures his hand and smiles sadly at him.
I guess we can watch a movie, Rodney says, like Shepherd had asked. Or maybe some ancient cooking shows?
General O'Neill had only been there an hour before he figured out how to make the ancient televisions drop from the ceiling, but the only programs available are cooking shows, incomprehensible sporting events, and something that looks a lot like Murder, She Wrote. Also, they're only kind of in English.
Shepherd tugs him over to the bed.
No funny stuff, Rodney warns him, and gets Rodney arranged so that Shepherd can snuggle up against him.
It's nice, really. Really nice. And Rodney puts an arm around Shepherd and strokes his back, and it's obvious neither of them are watching the television, but otherwise they'd just be cuddling, and Rodney would like to maintain at least a little plausible deniability.
I hope you don't hate me for this later, Rodney says after a while. I'm just trying to make you happy, even if it's not real.
I don't hate you, Shepherd says, sleepy and limp with happiness.
Oh, sure, you say that now.
I'll say it tomorrow, too.
Rodney falls asleep to the sound of Shepherd's breathing, the distant babble of the television, and in the morning he wakes up to the toilet flushing and Shepherd standing next to the bed and leaning over him.
I don't hate you, Shepherd says, and kisses him. It's a short kiss, sweet and shy, and that's how Rodney knows it's Shepherd, even before he sees the collar lying next to him on the pillow.